But Cass, we both know nobody ever attacked you, did they? Big Cass, you attacked Enzo.
You're damn right I did it! Do you have any idea what it's like teaming up with you, Enzo? You just constantly run your mouth about God knows what every single minute of the day.
Friends turn enemies. Grow together, fight together, share any dreams. Why you want to see me die by any means? You tell the feds about machines and jelly beans. Your bad mind feed the pens where your money green. At the Browning legs you want go between. All right, through your ear, the bank teller asks me if my bank book using steroid like the rugby team. I really thought you want me dead for.
Them call it jealousy.
Some call it envy.
Yeah. Way, way, way up. Turn it all up. Yeah. Look. I got enemies, got a lot of enemies. Got a lot of people trying to drain me of my energy. They trying to take away from a nigga. Fucking with the kid and pray for your nigga. I got girls in real life trying to.
So boys, it's been a long time since I've been in the red zone. You guys have held it down without me. I must commend you guys to that. But I have one thing to say. We were all, before we started recording, talking a little bit about our jobs. I know no one from my job listens to this shit. Fame, I don't know about you and Bello, but...
Absolutely not.
Fame, if you had one thing to say to the people at your job, what would it be?
I don't even want to get, like, aggressive and rude. It'd just be like, yo, fucking chill. Let me do me. I got this.
Bello?
That's what I would say.
I mean, I just like, I basically have said this on occasion, but it's just like, folks, just understand that for 40 hours a week, I'm contracted to tolerate and intermingle with you people. Other than that, I have no fucking interest in your lives, your kids' lives, your fucking social lives, whatever the case may be. When I punch out at 5 o'clock, you guys don't exist anymore until 8:30
yes.
The next day.
Preach, that's- testify. Yes.
So I don't have anything negative to say about my job, strictly because I just started this new job that I moved a few states over for, and they treat me like fucking royalty. And for $31 an hour, I don't give a fuck if they did treat me like shit. I'd still probably be pretty much enjoying my job. But what I do have to share is that, as you guys know, the listeners may not know this unless they follow my Twitter, I went to Money in the Bank last night with my daughter. It was her very first pay-per-view. And this is how aware my 9-year-old daughter is. After we were leaving the pay-per-view, and we met Michael Elgin, which was just a huge moment for me, but my daughter, in front of Michael Elgin, said, "I don't know who you are." But nonetheless, moving on from that.
Wow.
We're getting in the car. And she's like, "Daddy, so when are we going again?" I said, "I don't know, babe. I can't afford to go to every pay-per-view." She said, "No, I saw your checks. You get paid $31 an hour. The average ticket to go to a pay-per-view is $60-something. Dad, you only have to work for 2 hours to get us tickets to go to the next pay-per-view."
Whoa. Your daughter is woke as fuck.
Yes.
What is happening?
These kids are way too smart these days.
Oh, man, like, seriously, I'm like, how did you, like, at 9 years old, if my parents asked me to guess how much money they made, I would just say, I don't know, I probably would have said something stupid, like $100. Like, I had no concept of paid by the hour, any of that shit. My daughter not only knows how much I get paid by an hour, but she's breaking it down so that she can get more pay-per-view tickets. That's the state I live in.
Into tickets. She doesn't break it down into candy. She breaks it down into pay-per-view tickets. I love
it's,
it.
It's wonderful. Fucking ridiculous. And
wait,
then yeah,
shameless plug. Speaking of us and our children, my child and Bello's child is on a special YouTube video for Father's Day called The Dad Cast with the Man Dem on YouTube, and we interview our children about their fathers, and the answers, Bello's daughters especially, is hilarious.
Yeah. Logan is a pip, to say the least.
You better watch out there, Bello. You may have a future starlet on your hands there, and then I would love to see how you would react to, like, your daughter just blowing up on YouTube, because Lo is hilarious, man. She's absolutely hilarious. And then on the Smackdown retro video, absolutely adorable.
Yeah, she just kept running out. She was doing costume changes and shit. Like, I got to watch. There's some tendencies. Like, I got anything from, like, you know, like a future, you know, positive female role model celebrity to, like, anything from, like, that to, like, Lady Gaga on my hand. So I got to work within the confines of directing her in the right way.
hilarious. So before we get in, we got just a couple of housekeeping things. For anyone who follows the WWPN and our members, you will find that our very own JB has been on an attention horse spree like no other, just getting all the attention he can on Twitter, searching for it, going after it. And in the midst of that, we happen to broker a new friendship for the podcast. His name is Daniel Crimmin, who actually reviews WWE action figures on Twitter. He's entertaining as hell. Go check him out. I'm sorry, on YouTube. Go check him out on YouTube. Also, check out our YouTube channel, which we have the Smackdown Retro that is currently going up right now. We also have Smackdown Episode 4, Parts 1 and 2 with OK Fabe and JB. Yeah, our YouTube channel is kind of popping here lately. We also have videos of my daughter for Money in the Bank. We've been doing it lately.
I heard there was also this really cool Money in the Bank review show, like immediately after the pay-per-view, with Misery Williams, JB, and Fame Black. I heard that was on there, man. I heard people should check it out.
I heard about that, and I happened to check that out, and all I could say is, goddamn, Fame. Like, your neighborhood, I feel like your neighborhood is the perfect neighborhood to just sit outside on a porch with some tequila and just watch people. Like, I just feel like that's what you do in your spare time, and I can't blame you there.
There's a lot of tequila wine in recent memory, and that's why I've been missing shows. Tequila wine, if you don't know, it's sneaky. It's tequila mixed with wine, and it tastes like wine, and it doesn't taste like tequila. And you can get a glass of wine, and it would feel like a normal glass of wine, except that it's spiked with tequila. So it's a very tricky drink, and you end up going to sleep more often than not.
And moving from that, the last thing that we have to announce is that we did, in our Pickamania League, announce the first ever whatever the fuck champion, and that happened to be Jeet from the former Jab Wrestling, who quickly lost the title to WWPN's own Josh Perry. I had all type of nicknames that pertain to his porn mustache, but you know what? I'm going to refrain from that right now. But boys, the title is home at the WWPN. What are your thoughts on that?
I think, like, statistically, it was an inevitability. We had a lot of guys in the pool. But, it was good. I'm very happy that Josh picked up for me, because I dropped the ball and lost the finals against Jeet. So a tip of the hat to Jeet for his win, and then a ha-ha, karma's a bitch to you for Josh's cash-in. And it all worked out for the WWPN at the end of the day. Thumbs up. Good job, Joshy boy.
Absolutely. But, Fame, I believe you talked the most shit possible during this whole... This whole thing. Did you win a goddamn match, Fame Black?
No, I have not yet to win. I've yet to obtain victory. Come close very several. These last two pay-per-views especially come very, very close. Not no cigar, as they say.
Well, nonetheless, CEO Hayes is
telling. But I am not to be heard.
I am taking the helm taking my chance at the booking going forward for the next couple of months. So, Fame, we're gonna get you in a good matchup. Not anything that'll easily make you win, but something that you'll get a chance to definitely display all your nature boy ways. That's for sure. I have something special planned for you.
I am like Jinder Mahal right now. Okay, I just came off a 3MB here. Okay, now I just transferred to SmackDown, and I want to be the modern day Maharaja. I got the beard for it. You understand? All I need is opportunity. I heard that the Booker JB was found in a vegetative state. As a result, we need a new general manager. In my head, by the way, let me play this out for the fans. In my head, when Jeet won and Bello was so angry that he grabbed the chair and took out Jeet for Josh to come down and cash that briefcase in, and they celebrated together in the ring.
Yes. No, that's unlikely.
All right, boys. Are you guys ready to step into the red zone?
Wow, we didn't even get in there. Okay, cool.
Let's do it.
So kiss a little longer. Stay close a little longer. Hold tight a little longer. Longer with Big Red.
The Big Red Machine is here!
All red everything.
Listen up, there's not a moment to spare. It's quite a drop from the top, so how you feeling down there?
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, it feels so good to be back home. Finally, Hayes has come back to the Red Zone to review some Raw with my boys Fane Black and Andrew Bello. Guys, we're going to start off at the end of Raw just because I want to talk about it while it's fresh. Fucking Big Cass turned heel tonight, boys. He was the one attacking Enzo. My prediction of it being crime time was completely found to be false, as I tend to do sometimes. But Andrew Bello, only because I know you have a hot take on this, what are your thoughts on the split now between Enzo and Cass and Big Cass being heel?
All right, well, let's start from the beginning. Super sleuth Kurt Angle barely can be the Monday Night Raw GM, and now he's trying to take on private eye fucking roles. What, Kurt, just stick to, you know, he's already pretty much fucking up as the GM. It's a whole shit show. Right after they just had a whole fatal five-way to determine the number one contender, Roman Reigns just walked out tonight and said, hey, I'm going to be the number one contender. But we'll get into that in a little bit, I'm sure. But this whole turn with Enzo and Cass, I was like halfway expecting Cass to just attack him as Enzo was doing the whole shtick at the very beginning, and that didn't happen. So they got in the ring. I'm like, oh, okay, they kind of look like they're going strong. And then all of a sudden, Graves stood up, and I said, oh, no. Like, I knew right away we were going to get this whole thing. It was played out very well. Like, I kind of thought that this was a possibility. I'm interested to see where Corey Graves lies in all this, because why have him involved just to do this? Like, what is Corey Graves fucking TMZ now? He's just, like, one-off and just investigative journalist for this random occasion. Like, I don't know. So I'm hoping that maybe he's involved with Cass, and that maybe the Revival are in on it too. Maybe they turn into a whole thing together. But I like the idea of Graves getting involved, doing a Bobby Heenan thing, doing announcing, taking on a little family, if you will, and Big Cass at the center of it could be really good for a little while.
Fame?
I am more doubtful. I'm more doubtful than Bella would be. I don't. Here's the thing. What music is Big Cass gonna come out to now, huh? Enzo, you soft, you sloppy. The bubba, like, how? What kind of nonsense is that? It's not gonna happen. I don't know. I don't know if I like this at all. I mean, and props to Enzo. All right, deserves an Oscar. The man cried real tears.
Yeah.
All right, the man was crying real tears. And he was like, you know, to his credit, he wasn't angry. He legitimately looked hurt all over his face, and you know, it's a good story. I wanted to know who shot Enzo, and turns out it was the best friend all along. It writes itself. It's a classic story. But are they going to have a match now? Like, Cash just took him out with one big boot. Like, just tonight, just one big boot. That's all it took. And I don't know why he's sacking him from behind, really. I get he had an explanation, but for real, that's the explanation? You just whoop his ass. You're 7 foot tall. You can't teach that.
He just blacked out.
And that's what he's...
Hey, does Enzo win this feud? Like, does Enzo end up pulling this out and be going over here?
You know what? I mean, that's what ultimately really has me confused, is where do they go with this? Because, A, yes, Cash, if they have a match, Cash should just beat Enzo. It should be a 30-second match. But there's no real story to be told in that. Does Enzo ultimately come over? But then you know that they have probably future plans for Big Cass. That's the purpose of the split. So can you really have Enzo go over? I don't know right now. I ultimately think that both men are going to be worse off for it, though, if I had to be 100% honest. Fane, what are your thoughts there?
I have an idea. Enzo, being smart and not dumb, shouldn't just enlist the help of several big men for Cass to take on. Kind of like, first, obviously, will be the Big Show, right? Because he doesn't like Big Cass to begin with. Hey, Show, man, get in there and show Cass who's boss. This right here, this is Big Show. He's 7 foot tall, and you can't teach that again. You know what I mean? So after that, he can get, like, Kane. I don't know. You can play with this. Mark Henry. Just a slew of big men for Cass to beat in Enzo's quest to defeat Big Cass. I don't know how that ends, but that would be very entertaining to see which big men he would pull out. Maybe he could pull out some like older big men, the ones that aren't dead yet, having trouble thinking of one. But you understand the concept.
All right.
Yeah, I can get behind that. I can get behind that. Bello, what's your ultimate booking? Where does this end up, Andrew?
It ends up with them getting back together in like a year. like ultimately, these guys are going to get back together. There's way too much money that they left on the table that they can ultimately go back to at any point in time. But I don't know, man. Maybe this just goes with Cass going over, looking like the big bully that he is, and being a formidable heel in the mid-card, maybe even the main event scene, who knows. But then Enzo, kind of sympathetic, goes away for a little while and emerges in the cruiserweight division. Like, I don't see Enzo having a singles career in the main roster, like Monday Night Raw. Like, who's he wrestling that anyone would believe he could beat? And yeah, he could pull out that miracle every so often, but he's going to be more or less the Brooklyn Brawler by 6 months from now, if they try to like do that. So put him in the cruiserweights, let him throw some character in there. Him and Jack Gallagher together will be really funny. And hopefully they don't like, I don't know. Hopefully they don't try to push Cass Roman Reigns style. Just do it slowly.
Well, I mean, the thing is that I enjoy the idea of Cass being a heel to a certain extent. And I think Cass's size, Vince's obvious interest in Big Cass, I don't really worry about him as much, because at the lowest he'll probably be mid card, but you know, it is what it is there. Enzo, what do you do with Enzo? I can't think of any legitimate thing. Enzo is an okay wrestler. His strong point is in his talking ability, but who do you really put him up against that you would even want to see him talking? Like, what happens with Enzo? I can't wait to see, because right now I have no ideas what happens or what goes on there. And as far as this match between the two of them, I just hope it's one and done, to be honest. And I know it won't be. I'm more interested in the fact that you said they'll probably be back together in a year. So that would mean within two and a half years, we've had Enzo and Cass debut, break apart, and come back together. I don't know if that happens or not, but if it does, I can't wait to talk shit about it.
Never worry about Enzo Amore, because at the worst point of his career, when he's just on the brink of getting released, he can always do commentary.
Okay.
That would be good.
Yeah, that would be good. All right, maybe he'll join Miz's entourage, which we'll talk about a little bit later. But let's go back, moving on from the end of Raw. Let's get back to the beginning of Raw. And that started off with one Samoan named Joe that happens to be called Roman Reigns coming out, saying how he cannot be beaten one-on-one, which I immediately went back to. Seth Rollins did beat him clean at Money in the Bank last year. It just so happens that Dean Ambrose cashed in on Seth Rollins right away. But we're not going to talk about that, because the storyline that we're going with is Roman can't be beat one-on-one. He, of course, mentions The Undertaker, which draws boos from the crowd. And he gets to Samoa Joe, and he says some guy named Joe, which as soon as that happened, we knew that Samoa Joe was coming out. So we did eventually get the stare down between the two, and a brief brawl and a match made for later in the night, Samoa Joe versus Roman Reigns. Fam, I'm coming to you first on this one. What did you think about Roman's promo here? I personally felt it was a little bit stronger than some of his promos in the past, but what did you think about it?
You know, it, you don't even need to go back to Money in the Bank. I mean, Joe, like they said 4 months ago, Joe beat him clean, and Joe's debut night beat Roman Reigns. Braun Strowman beat Roman Reigns.
Finn
like,
Balor beat Roman Reigns.
Right. Roman Reigns, he has a very short memory. This was to say, I can't be beaten in singles competition. But that's fine. I don't have a problem with that. I don't know why he's picking on Joe. You know, it's some guy named Joe, because he's not really Samoan. Okay, and your name not really Roman Reigns. Like, we're playing a game here. What are you talking about?
I don't think Bello. He was questioning his Samoan-ness. I think he was just saying, you're just Joe, like you're whatever. And to be fair, Roman is Samoan, so he would just be Joe. Like, why is he going to go out of his way to call him Samoan Joe?
But, going out of his way, the extra mile to say those three syllables.
It's unnecessary. He's the big dog. He's got better things to do.
Some guy named Joe is exactly as many syllables.
Well, whatever, man. It's his yard, goddammit. He does what he wants.
But is it though? Because he got choked out.
We will get to that. So the whole purpose of this was the Roman saying that regardless, coming out of Great Balls of Fire, regardless of who wins, he will be the number one contender. He made himself the number one contender. Bella, I'm going to come right back to you on this. Since when does Roman get the John Cena treatment?
Apparently as of tonight. It's just ridiculous. Like I said earlier, like they had to go through this whole hoopla of a fatal five-way match at whatever the fuck pay-per-view I already forgot the name of. And, you know, now he just comes out. He's like, I'm the number one contender. Well, then why didn't you do that a month ago? Like, well, why does that work now? But I did like, I wanted to say before, I do like how Samoa Joe came out, you know, allow me to reintroduce myself. And I do like you said, Hayes, that they've established him as the guy. Like, if you're going to talk shit about him, you better be ready to do something about it, because he fucking, like, hears everybody and everything, apparently. Anytime anybody has talked shit about Samoa Joe since he's debuted, he's attacked them almost immediately. Sami Zayn, and now in this instance, obviously, with Roman. You know, Roman Reigns, all right, so you're the number one contender. I was halfway thinking, like, why isn't Balor coming out right now? In fact, I heard that booked by somebody on some other podcast, but they were talking about, yeah, like, Roman Reigns will come out and say, I want to be the number one contender. Finn Balor come out and be like, I never lost the championship. I never got my rematch, and that they should have a match at Great Balls of Fire for the winner to take on the champion at SummerSlam. And that made a lot more sense to me. So when Roman started going with the spiel, we got Joe, which was fine, and it all kind of worked out for everybody at the end of the night. But I thought Balor would have been better. But I'm not going to lie, I loved what we got with Balor tonight.
Yeah. As we get the apparently the whole train just ran through Fame's household, but we're gonna move on and we're gonna go ahead and talk about it now, just because I want to get your guys' take on it as it came up. The match between Samoa Joe and Roman Reigns tonight, the match was better than what I was giving it credit for, what I thought it was gonna be ultimately. They got more time than I expected. Also, they got about 18 minutes and 10 seconds. Goddamn Fame. But a very good match overall between the two. We did get Braun coming up at the end to distract Roman. Roman gets in the Coquelina clutch and passes out. Fame, coming to you next on this one. Was this good booking to have this match end in this way? And also, Samoa Joe, as we get ready to prep up to Great Balls of Fire, any way in hell he goes over Brock? The answer is no, but I'm going to ask you the question anyway.
No, he's not going to go over Brock. We all pretty much sure Brock Lesnar is a beast, and as he should be. But here's the thing. I want to just touch back on one thing. I learned something about myself. I'm not that big of a Jay-Z fan. I know, right? But anyway, I'm not. It's just, he just don't do it for me. But, however, I learned that whenever somebody says, allow me to reintroduce myself, my name is Hov, I just have to. It's an instinct. It just came out immediately. I said it before Joe, but I have another question for that segment. What is a Samoa Joe? Because that's what they were saying, him and Roman Reigns. I am Samoa Joe. That was the weirdest twist on the word.
That must be how anybody they say it.
Yeah, I think that's the more authentic pronunciation.
But Americans were lazy, so we don't say it like they say it. We just say it Samoa and Joe, but in there.
But it's really
Samoa.
They're a fucking Girl Scout cookie to us. That's where we're at.
Oh man, I can totally go for some Girl Scout cookies.
Oh man,
I'm hungry now.
Bello, your thoughts on the match?
As far as this match go, Braun Strowman coming back is the greatest. That's not a distraction. That's not a faulty finish to me. He focused on the screen.
Yeah. I mean, the match itself was good. I mean, it was actually really good for the most part. And I was the whole time I'm sitting there and we were talking about it in the chat, Redneck brought it up, like, they're going to put Roman over here. And I was just very concerned. And then when we got Braun, I was just, you know, I was very, very happy that this is how this all worked out. Roman loses, but he doesn't look too bad, which is obviously what they're trying to do. But then for the rest of us, Samoa Joe looked really good. Braun looked really good. Everything was good about this whole thing. And, Braun coming out was just amazing. And when he grabbed the mic and he just started yelling, you seem to have forgotten, I'm not finished with you. And that the whole crowd just popped. Braun's Braun's great to have back.
He's put it on a shirt. I'm not finished with you. Put it on a shirt. I'll buy it.
Yeah, put that shit on a t-shirt.
Braun Strowman, the biggest face in WWE right now, as long as he's up against Roman, that is. Getting back to Roman's promo to kind of open up the show, did you guys get a little, Fame, I already know, to you, Roman's been heel this whole time, but Bello, did you get a little bit more heelish vibe from Roman there?
Not really. I didn't particularly, to be perfectly honest.
That's fair enough.
Oh, I do also want to say, worth noting, though, the little Samoa Joe backstage promo right before this match was epic. Like, the he's going to know my name. He's going to put respect on it. I also appreciate Booker T teaching the difference to Corey Graves between respect and respect.
That was priceless. That was priceless.
That was good. I mean, like, as a goofy white boy, I can appreciate Booker T's tolerance and just appreciation. And he's trying to spread the knowledge of said language. But nonetheless, fucking Corey Graves, just nerdy white dude and doesn't understand. But, yeah, I love that promo. And notable, Samoa Joe looks right into the camera, which all the backstage people say very few people are allowed to do.
What do we have to do to get Booker to stay on commentary? Like, I just want Booker to stay. Why can't we just have that?
Booker T is like John Madden in a sense that Booker T doesn't give you any new information. He just kind of says shit that you already know. Like, you know, Booker T, all them slams that he doing out there going to do damage to his back. Like, it's very shit like that. I love it, but it's the most repetitive, great commentary I've ever heard.
It's all in the presentation. That's all it is. And so, just to talk about something else, moving on from the actual match and Samoa Joe segments itself, we did find out over the course of the weekend, JR is just on his podcast, on his Twitter, he's aiming to call this freaking Brock Lesnar Samoa Joe match. He's angling, politicking, whatever you want to call it. Does it end up happening?
Don't know. Why wouldn't it? Well, you know, they brought him back. What match did they bring him back for? Oh, the UK Classic. Like, I don't understand this one match call stuff. I really don't get it, man. I wish they just bring him back. Like, obviously, everybody wants it. He could still go. He could still do it. Put him on. Put him on pay-per-views only. I don't know. That's what, part-time. But every pay-per-view, Raw and SmackDown.
Bella. Yeah, make it just part of the angle. Paul Heyman has had it put in Brock Lesnar's contract that Jim Ross will call all of his matches. Done.
Well, shit. There you have it. Let's go
on
and get it.
You know what bothered me about this Roman Reigns Samoa Joe match, though, is when Michael Cole goes, "You know, Brock Lesnar is watching this." Brock Lesnar, even kayfabe-ly, doesn't give a shit. Doesn't watch Raw. Probably has never watched an episode of Raw in his life. Just honestly, is not worried about Samoa Joe at all.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can't. There's no argument for that. None. Anyone who decides to argue with that is high.
That's not a good excuse.
Yeah.
They're high off kayfabe. Let's go ahead and get to the second match on this card. That's the Hardy Boys.
I would totally smoke a brand of weed named kayfabe.
Well, invent it. You're a smart young man. I'm pretty sure you can put your mind to it and invent a brand of weed that's called kayfabe.
Bet.
The Hardy Boys had a match against Anderson and Gallows. And this match, Anderson and Gallows got more offense than I expected them to get in. But I just came away from this. Every match, I'm just bored as shit with the Hardys. I'm sorry. If they're not broken, I don't give a rat's ass about it. The whole nostalgia thing was wore off on me about 2 weeks after their return. But maybe you guys feel a little differently. Bello, how'd you feel about the match? How do you feel about the Hardys and Anderson and Gallows, the whole package here? What did you think about it?
All right, well, I saw a Matt Hardy tweet talking about how his broken whatever the fuck is being getting to the point to where it can't be contained anymore. I think that they bought it. Between that interview with Graves a couple weeks ago and this shit tonight, with Jeff Hardy sort of not being there for Matt again to help him out at the end of the match here, same way with the cage match and all that stuff, I think we might be leaning towards Matt turning on Jeff And it's like, how many goddamn tag teams are we going to have turn on one another at this point? I mean, we between Tommaso Ciampa and Gargano, which is the best of all of them, which is on exclusively the WWE Network, and then Truth and Goldust and Galt and Enzo and Big Cass, and now potentially these two as well. There's no end. Maybe even Breezango. I don't know. They were kind of teasing that even a week ago. But yeah, I want the goddamn Broken Hardys. Otherwise, I just don't care. I couldn't even bring myself to pay much attention to this match for the most part.
Mr. Black, if that's your real name. All right, we lost Fame, so we're just going to keep it pushing. Andrew.
Wait. You hear me?
Yes.
Yeah?
Yes.
Okay, good. I was trying to keep it on mute while the buses were coming through. Anyway, yeah, man, I've been done with the Hardys if you're not going to break them, man. I don't know what that's about. I don't know why. I mean, I do think they bought it with the interview, and he was like, here's my brother, comma, Nero, wink, wink, nudge, nudge, break, break, destroy, delete, delete. You know, it's all going to happen. You know what I mean? It's all going to happen in due time. I don't think it's going to happen with a turn, though. I don't think he's going to turn on Jeff. I think they're going to break together, and they'll tell a new story of the Broken. And, you know, he'll be Nero again, or Nebo, or, you know, something close. Luckily, Jeff Hardy's middle name is actually Nero.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can't stop my man from using his name.
Break him.
I just think they have to do the turn. Like, that's how it worked the first time, and I don't see them finding a good way. WWE, I don't trust them to come up with something on their own, frankly. Especially if they're now going to change it from what it originally was dramatically like that. Just go with the way it was. It was beautiful. Just do it bigger and better.
Well, there you go.
I trust that Matt Hardy can do it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Matt Hardy can pull it off regardless.
I think no matter what origin story they give him now, I think he can pull it off, especially with the resources at hand.
Yeah.
And the character. My God, the characters. Could you imagine if they brought regional Southpaw wrestling characters to the Broken universe of the WWE universe?
Oh, wow. Wow.
Did it blow your mind?
You just did. CJ, do we ever see Matt Hardy and Mike Bennett and Maria meet up at any point?
Absolutely. At some point, it'll happen. They'll wink, wink, nod, nudge, nudge. It at some point, maybe SummerSlam, one of those cross-brand pay-per-views. But, you know, two-thirds of the original Kingdom are in WWE, with the third member possibly coming over.
Yeah, I was thinking about the same thing, too. That'd be really cool.
So, anything's possible. But moving on, I don't know, Fame, how familiar you are with the Kingdom, but we'll educate you on that at a later date and time. The Drifter's out to play his tune, and asked the audience to quiet down as he needs silence to retune his guitar. Finn Balor's music hits. The Drifter hightails it out the ring, and we get Finn Balor versus Bo Dallas. And this match, starting off with Bo looking as dominant and aggressive as what he was, it completely shocked me. And it wasn't really that long of a time. The match was only 4 minutes and 15 seconds. But just the fact that they gave Bo that little stretch just completely shocked me. We move on from that. Of course, Finn picks up the win on a coup de grace on Bo Dallas. And this isn't going to be the last time we see Bo Dallas in the night. Don't know when's the last time we saw Bo Dallas twice in one night. But Finn Balor here, looking strong. Obviously, they're moving into him doing something more, which we can't talk about now. We can talk about later. But, Fame, what are your thoughts on the Drifter and Finn Balor versus Bo Dallas?
Okay. Considering what happened to Bo Dallas later, I wish he had came out in that white diaper trunks one more time and was just super positive. And it would be weird if he didn't have a beard. But I guess I could tolerate it. If he didn't change up his look, if he was still the same goofy, believe, and all that, right? If he was still doing that just one more time, and then what happened to him later on would change into what he was at that point, I would buy the story a lot better. But it was what it was. I like the fact that Bo kind of kicked his ass, and then Finn Balor kicked his ass. I actually turned on my TV as Finn was adjusting his jacket, smoothly ejecting the Drifter out of the ring. Which I was like, that's not going to stand, man. So, and I was right. But Finn Balor is so cool, right? That's a badass jacket, and I need it.
Likewise.
It is a nice jacket.
I love that jacket.
All right, so Elias Sampson's finally figuring it out, as I've been talking about with him for weeks. Like, he needs to just be worse at all the music stuff. So when he's got to stop to tune his guitar and he's being obnoxious, like telling everybody to stop and hold their applause until they're finished, like he's finally really wrenching down on that intellectual savior of the masses, Damian Sandow meets Jillian Hall heat, and it's working out, melding very nicely. Balor comes out, and my first thought is like, ah. Like, this isn't exactly where I want Balor on the card right now, but nonetheless, you know he's going to go over here, and this works for me in a weird way. I don't know. I just kind of love both characters, and this makes sense, and like I said, you know Balor's going to end up beating Samson, and it was kind of cool in this instance that an embarrassed and angry and bigger and armed with a guitar, Elias Samson just backs down from Finn Balor. And it shows kind of his status in that respect, and then ultimately him attacking him in the back later on in the night. But as far as the match with Bo Dallas goes, like I like the little bit of edge that he was showing, and it brought out a bit more of aggression in Balor, which was really good for his character. And I mean the Finn Balor Elias Sampson feud, I'm into it. It's like if it was a girl, it's like a seven, but like she's got like a hot accent. And I'm kind of into it, like a little bit more than I generally would be on face value, something like that. That's how I feel about this particular angle.
Check it out. No, Bello, I got it. All right. She's like a seven, but she likes wrestling.
There you go. Yeah. Okay.
Because if she knows her shit, I can hang out with a seven. We are like, we're good.
Yeah, absolutely. That's what it's like. That's what this angle's like to me.
Yeah, I feel exactly the same way.
Yeah, I mean, count me in as a third, then it's unanimous. I like that too. I agree with that mindset and that thinking there. Moving on, I don't know how you guys feel about video games, but we get a trailer for the new WWE 2K18, and this trailer was absolutely fucking amazing. Like, I saw it before Raw. I think I saw it last night when it leaked out. But what did you guys think about this trailer?
Let me start here. WWE 2K18 trailer does not tell me anything about this game unless they change the format to some sort of third-person stealth and destruction game starring Seth Rollins, which I would still totally fucking play.
That reminds me of Day of Reckoning on the Nintendo GameCube. For all you youngsters out there, there was a mode in there where you could pick the wrestling game on it was amazing though. You could pick a wrestler and like you'd be backstage and you like have to like throw the security guards off the top of a Hell in a Cell on the running cars that would go by and stuff. It was fucking hilarious, but they had a great story mode on there. But continue, fam. I'm sorry.
Oh no, man. But other than that, like, I'm upset that they didn't say anything else about the bonus features. Buy the deluxe edition and play 4 days early. Like, that's what I'm going to pay the extra $10 for, 4 days. And then I got this one game for the year. Like, trust me, I can wait 4 days. I'm a very patient man. But yeah, man, other than that, the trailer was, I mean, it was cool. Like I said, I would still totally play that game. In fact, I hope it's like a mini game in the game. That's way too much to hope for.
Bella. This whole trailer is one of these situations where I question where WWE draws the line on things. Like, okay, so they got to be a PG product, right? But they're going to put Seth Rollins, this new up-and-coming star, on the cover of their video game. And in the trailer, they're going to have him breaking and entering, committing arson, breaking all sorts of private property, and then bailing on the whole thing and looking like a badass at the end of the day. What the fuck? Where is that on my fucking Raw every week? Give me the guy burning down shit all the time. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, why is that the way they're pushing it to the mainstream in that respect? But as far as my Raw goes, like, they got to do this pitter patter PG bullshit. I don't get it.
I mean, what do you realistically want him to do? Start trashing opponents with sledgehammers and setting them on fire?
Yes.
Oh, that'd be, well, yeah, you would be into that, wouldn't you?
Oh, yeah.
Murderer. So after this awesome trailer, we do get Seth Rollins to come out, cut a little promo there, talking about the video game, talking about how he took the easy way out, but he won't do that anymore for the fans, and it took sacrifice. And all you need to know is Bray Wyatt eventually came out to call Seth Rollins a coward. We're moving forward a program between Wyatt and Seth Rollins, and I ask you, Andrew Bello, does this feud continue? Bray Wyatt being the new resident loser and a bitch overall.
Paranormal. Paranormal loser and a bitch.
That's true. And by the way, I think after that whole sunset flip powerbomb last night, we can remove the end of bitch from Sami Zayn's resume. That shit was crazy. But nonetheless,
he had a great run in that match last night. But go ahead.
Yeah. No, Bray Wyatt will continue to be the paranormal loser and a bitch. They have Brock at the top right now. You got Joe, you got Roman, you got Braun, you got Balor drifting in the midst, and obviously Seth Rollins is now on the cover of your video game, so he's clearly up in that echelon. They don't have room for Bray Wyatt right now, so he's best suited sticking in the mid card, beating up whoever the Miz isn't beating up for the while. I don't know. That's best case scenario if he wants to be credible as far as actually getting a win on occasion.
I hate to say it, but you're very right for the moment. I don't think they've given up on him. I don't think that they've, like, I think it's just the tide has to shift a bit for it to be Bray's time, Halloween or something. I don't know. The full moon, Friday the 13th. It's all coming.
Well, I mean, honestly, he's in a good position right now because he's matched up with Seth Rollins, and Seth Rollins is on the cover of their video game. So when that video game comes out in October, I know that's a few months away. If he's still in some type of program with Seth Rollins, it may be highlighted. Every time someone's on the video, around that time the video game releases, you see them in a more highlighted feud. So whoever Seth Rollins up against at that point in time will be able to hopefully get a little rub off that. But I personally, Bray Wyatt's going to be a loser and a bitch for a considerable future. You got to think they just moved over Cass to a heel, and while he's probably going to be with Enzo, paired up with Enzo for a while, they have to do something with him. I think he actually passes Bray up after he's done with Enzo.
Wow. You know, Seth Rollins was trying to make a lot of points in his speech. You know, it's not just my poster, guys, it's our poster. I'm just on it and getting paid for it, but it's our poster. Like, I hate when that's the face thing. Like, it was me, now it's us. Like, nah, like, you don't have to share everything. Like, it's still you, Seth. It's cool. Don't worry about it. And he's like, don't define someone from their past mistakes. Anyone could be different tomorrow. And all I heard was, please forget about my dick pics. Please forget about my dick pics.
The same thing. It's amazing.
See, I'm just weird, because if I had dick pics leak, I'd embrace it. I wouldn't say forget about my dick pics. I'd be like, hey, did you see that? Did you see it? Did your wife see it?
Daily.
I don't know if you saw Seth Rollins's, but they're not very flattering, so.
I didn't see it. I know that they happened, but I didn't see them. But still, whatever.
Yeah. Nor did I. But Seth Rollins did say at some point during this, well, after Bray Wyatt called him a shill, he says, gods only exist in our minds, which got the most awkward pop I've heard in a while. It was sort of like, the whole crowd is just like, huh? How do we react to that? All of a sudden, he's talking about religious shit. People are sensitive these days.
It reminds me of when CM Punk did he was doing Hell in a Cell. He was like, look at this cover. And it was CM Punk as the devil. He said, first of all, there's no devil. And he got that same weird pop from like that one atheist section of the crowd.
Wow. Oh, speaking of, this is a funny little inside from Money in the Bank. So Sam Roberts was on the pre-show. I'm sure you guys saw. And in my section, when the pre-show was ended and he got up from the little desk that they had there and was walking to the back, a mini Get the Jew chant broke out in my section. And I was just like, this is my daughter's here. This is incredibly awkward.
God, what the fuck is wrong with people? That's horrible.
And I'm sitting there looking at my daughter, and she's like, I know she wanted to ask me, Daddy, what's a Jew? But she was just still taken aback by the fact she was at a wrestling event. She just moved on and asked for Dippin' Dots. Oh. I was like, thank God.
Nice. Dippin' Dots solve everything.
Everything.
Oh my God, I fucking love Dippin' Dots.
I know. Have you
had like
the new
$15 at the arenas? But those are good, man.
Yeah, we didn't have to pay for it because I used to run that arena. We got lucky. But we're gonna move on before we digress on that too much. Akira Tozawa versus TJP. Titus was the best part of this to me. Akira Tozawa has to join the Titus brand. Like, I. And this isn't even Pimp Hayes. This is CEO Hayes. I'm actually enjoying Titus O'Neil now. Hot take, whatever you want to call it. Fame, what are your thoughts?
I listen, I'm with this as well, man. Listen, Akira Tozawa, I always thought he was the man, you know what I'm saying? And Titus, I didn't dislike him as much as you did. Man, he's just out there. He's going to do whatever it takes to just... Did you see him try to parody the millions of dollars thing? Cha-ching, cha-ching, cha-ching. Like, I pop for it. I couldn't even lie. I pop for it. And why isn't Neville wearing pants?
Here we go, Fame. You've moved on. Now it's Neville. Now we're going to keep going until Neville gets pants on.
He didn't do any wrestling. He didn't do any wrestling. He came out in his draws.
He's the king. If I was the king, you bet your damn ass I wouldn't be wearing pants. I would never put on pants.
Yeah.
He should at least have a crown then, or a cape, robe, something. He's just coming out. He's not even wrestling, and he's coming out in his wrestling. Like, it leads the illusion that he doesn't wear anything else. He walks around the streets like that. I am your king. He walks around, like, holding the belt. Just, he's in, like, Starbucks with it, you know, with no pants. I hate it.
I would do it, Bello.
It's like the Emperor's new clothes. He's just walking around. Yeah. We're lucky it's not more revealing, frankly. Let's just leave it where it is, Fame.
I will say this about the match. Booker T clearly thought that TJP was white. Because when they're marking, he's like, oh, but Tozawa got that international marketability, you know, he could be all over the world. And it wasn't until Corey Graves comes out and is like, yeah, what about the Philippines? We're talking Manny Pacquiao numbers. You right.
There was a report, I guess, recently, Brian Alvarez, you know, because he's always right about everything. He reported that TJP is now being called TJP because Vince McMahon hates Perkins, the restaurant. TJP corrected him, but Fame... if you could call Vince for a second, what are his thoughts on Perkins, for the record?
First of all, before I call Vince, let me express Fame Black's thoughts on Perkins. That shit is disgusting. That is the nastiest. I, too, had this exact same thought when I was like, TJ Perkins, I hate that place. And I think that it's always stopped me from liking TJ Perkins to the best of my ability. Though, he is only 15 years old, so there's a lot of time for him to grow on me. Vince, you want to weigh in on this?
I once had the bacon and eggs from Perkins, and I vomited for 16 hours. Andre the Giant slipped in it, and he hurt a disc in his back, and that's why I didn't have him for so long after WrestleMania 5. I hate that place.
Well,
Vince McMahon stepped into the red zone, dropping knowledge and bombs. Fame, let me ask you this question. How did you get tapped in with Vince McMahon? What did you do? What dirt do you have? How do you have such an easy access to Vincent Kennedy McMahon?
You'll never believe this, but we crochet together. I joined a crochet club in Connecticut, and just so happened, Vinny Mac was there. I call him Vinny. And we really hit it off. And he said some things to me that I'll never forget. Some secrets shared that never, a bond that will never be broken. And he said, if you need me at any time, you can just call me. And thanks, Vince, for that. And yeah, that's exactly what he said. And it's ever since then, we've been like brothers. But the one rule is that I can't ask for a job or influence the product in any way. It's the only rule of our friendship.
It's pretty fair. Seems like a pretty fair friendship.
Right.
Well, there you guys have it. Now you heard the story of how Fame and Vince Kenny McMahon linked up. Go ahead, Bello.
Oh, yeah. I wanted to steer back to a little bit more of the Titus awesomeness before we skip past the Titus brand for life, folks. Titus brand is going to be changing the game. I love the power of Tozawa. That shit was great. Like, Titus is he's quite the salesman. Like, he sold Apollo. He's going to sell Tozawa. Who knows where else this goes, but potentially feuding with The Miz. And perhaps at some point in the near future could be some member of the Titus brand. And you know, maybe Graves' little family, if that comes to fruition. Like, we could have a good little lower mid-card faction war going for a little while, like we used to have back in the day with, like, DOA and Los Barrancas and Nation of Domination and all sorts of, you know, that kind of, like I said, lower mid-card kind of tag team nonsense.
Oh, I love that stuff.
Yeah, exactly. Like, bring that on. So hopefully Titus brand could do that, and I want them to expand. Who's next for the Titus brand?
Sasha Banks. Make that shit happen.
Yeah, me too. I could see that. All right.
All right, so we're going to go ahead and keep it moving. Miz TV. We already talked about Samoa Joe and Roman Reigns. So next on the card is Miz TV. I love Miz. Bello, oh, I know, God. You love Miz. I hated this segment. I hated this segment. Well, let me say, I hated the second part of it. The stuff between Miz and Maryse, I loved. The moment Dean Ambrose came out there, I was fucking done with it. So maybe that's more of an indictment against Ambrose than it is The Miz. But the segment itself, with him trying to win Maryse back over, that was all entertaining. Her reactions to it, having the two bears out there, all that stuff was entertaining. The moment Dean Ambrose came out there, it just went over the top cartoony to me. What were your thoughts on it, Bella?
I liked not necessarily the execution, but I sort of like the idea of Maryse getting pissed off and, like, leaving The Miz for a little while. Maybe The Miz snaps as a result, and now him and his henchmen, like, he goes full crazy, and he's just like the Joker, basically, on fucking Monday Night Raw, just out there at any means necessary. He's going to hold that title. I like the fact that he's joining up with these guys here that they're going to show, you know, Curtis Axel and Bo Dallas, the entourage, if you will. All of this is just so money for The Miz. And it's really, really giving me a little bit more faith that my prediction of him breaking the Honky Tonk Man's record is correct, because he can hang with this title for a very long time if he's got goons.
I mean, if you're going to be a good champion, you got to have goons, right? Seth Rollins did it. Bray Wyatt did it, and he didn't do it when he was champion, but you gotta have goons. Or you just gotta have Ginger, yeah, that's a good one. Edge did it. You know, you just gotta do it. Everybody's gotta have goons at one point in time. Because you're not a boss if you don't have goons. That's just the truth. Even Carmella's got a goon. You know what I'm saying? So anyway, when it comes to, what's the word I'm looking for? When it comes to the goonery, so like, you got an aggressive Bo Dallas, and you got Curtis Axel, who's serviceable. They've just been forgotten because they're not interesting. But this can, yo, I'm so for the entourage, man. And they, if they dress up like The Miz and they wear suits and shit like that, and they got the whole Marine 5 thing to back and promote, yo, The Miz, I think you're onto something, Bello. I think that this can really go the three, you know, what is the record? 3-6, like a little over a year?
64 weeks.
So yeah, a little, like a year and some, year and 3 months, something like that. Yeah, you can. Yeah, I think The Miz can totally do it, man. And the, yo, isn't it crazy how they just taped that real conversation and just threw that on TV? Because there was nothing fake about that. That was breaking all the kayfabe. He said, well, "Yeah, you're gonna hit me, and then what? I'm gonna be on Raw tomorrow. I'm gonna be on Raw next week. I'm gonna be doing that, and you are gonna be having a match against catering." That shit was a real burn. That was a real conversation The Miz really had with them. Like, yo, listen, y'all ain't shit. Come with me, and your life will get better. And he was right, because that was a great segment to me. Over the top cartoony, that doesn't stop me, man. I thought it was like, it's Bull in a China shop. Of course he knocked over the, he said, I use glue, I use tape. Of course he knocked over that dumbass clock. That was going to happen. Luckily, he had the bears. And I think Bello's right. He snapped. He's angry. He's losing his woman. So now he's got to go all full military assault, man. You saw it. He had two fucking weird dancing bears. And, you know, as we know, dancingbear.com is not the place to be if you're under 18. But he had two bears while he stood in the middle in all black with a serious face on. What the hell? Was that play me off music?
Yeah. That was the same man coming to shut you. No, that was an accident. Play that no more.
But yeah, man, everything. everything about it I loved, man. I hope that it's a ruse, though. I hope that Maurice isn't really mad. Like, I feel like even Kay Fabley, as the Miz's wife, she should be on board. Like, yo, babe, I'm a cheater. No, not like that. I cheat in the ring. Like, I need you to be my shield, and you know, I need you to slap the referee and get me disqualified. I need you to do this shit so I can keep this belt so we can get this money. You win or not. Like, Maurice is not new to the game, and it's like, bitch, you know that he wouldn't have spilled champagne on you if it wasn't for Dean Ambrose. Like, I mean, showing up, ruining things. So I hope it's a ruse. I hope at the pay-per-view or the final match that they have to end the feud, Maurice is the key factor and slaps Dean Ambrose in the face, and it shows that they've been united all along.
Maybe Maurice is the next to join the Titus brand. Maybe she says fuck the Miz and joins the Titus brand.
Nah, man, let me tell you something too. Everything that the Miz said to Maurice in like the before, yeah, everything that he said to her, that was like real. That was legit. I felt that. That was 100%. He loved that woman for real.
And who could blame him?
Who could?
Who?
Because if he didn't, I would.
Fame's always right. But you know what? Stealing married women is more of an Andrew Bello thing. You can't step on a man's gimmick, Fame.
speaking of stepping on somebody's gimmick, Bo Dallas better watch himself, because while he was beating up on Dean Ambrose, he was going, Titus Brand about to come get him, baby.
See, that links it all together. Maurice goes to the Titus brand. It just all happens.
I'm looking forward to the Entourage versus the Titus brand, because that's definitely like another month of The Miz holding the title.
I don't know how many wrestling fans are going to be down for a big black man with a small white woman.
It's just art imitating life.
I know it. You know it. But does it play on TV?
Oh, Bella. Bello, does it play on TV?
I don't know. What if you have like Alicia Fox be like angry about it latently or something?
Calling Titus a sellout.
No, that is the true art in imitating life. That's fantastic. Although they may not be intimidated, because it is Titus O'Neil's nudes leaked and also underwhelming and unimpressive, more unimpressive than Seth Rollins's.
Wait. Titus O'Neil had nudes link? What was this?
No, he's just saying in a world where this happened.
Oh, Jesus.
No kayfabe. Titus O'Neil has nudes leaked.
Oh, my.
The fact that you know this is both concerning and scary.
Fame Black used to, he cut his podcasting teeth, if you will, on an all-gay man channel. It was called So Randy Radio.
I know this already. I know the story, but I'm surprised you're going on air with this. But continue.
Listen. It was called So Randy Radio. Listen, yo, if you go back to them shows, I think it was 2015 to 2016, like a whole year. Those are some really good fucking episodes, man. I cannot lie. Those are great. That's great for my reel. All right, those are good shows. What's it called now? Raw, Randy Audio Wrestling on YouTube.
Well, there you go. Fucking plugging other people's podcasts on here.
I don't know if it's still in production. I just know that my like the old stuff that I used to do is still up there. So I don't know what they're doing now. We're out of touch. But the point is, I did the podcast with all these gay men, and when the nudes leaked, like the same way we did Pagegate, they did Titus Gate and they did Seth Gate, and it was brought up a lot. So you know, I'm not one to just because I'm not interested don't mean I don't want to know what's going on. I need to be in the knows what's happening. And they said it's unimpressive, Titus O'Neil, and it's especially for a man his size and color.
All right, well, to steer it back on track somewhat, Titus O'Neil and Apollo Crews, they were in a tag team match. I was against this tag team for a while. I said, like, I do not want to see these guys tagging together, but that was back when I thought this was merely going to be like a serviceable fashion.
Wait a second. This segment is brought to you by BlackPeopleMeet.com. Now continue, Andrew.
Why are Cesaro and Sheamus black?
No, because Titus and Apollo are in it. Anytime you have more than one black person in a segment, it's presented by blackpeoplemeet.com.
All right. I mean, hey, I'm not going to argue, obviously. all right. So I was against these two tagging together. But again, that's when I thought that they were merely going to be a serviceable faction. Now that they're one of my favorite things on Raw every week, like, yeah, fuck it. Let Titus wrestle. Whatever. I wouldn't even mind to see these two get a tag team title shot. With all the other tag teams breaking up, somebody's going to need to.
Yeah, I think you're right. Somebody needs a new title. Who's the number one contenders now?
I don't know.
The Hardys are going to go back. Yeah.
Again? How?
They just had a draw in a 2 out of 3 falls match.
That's not enough. That's like losing. Draw is losing. That's the champion's advantage. Hardys have lost enough.
It's the Hardys. Exactly. It's the Hardys. The Hardys are going to get the next tag team title.
No, this will beat them.
Yeah.
This is the last time.
Wouldn't it be the club? Didn't the club win tonight?
No. The Hardys won over tonight.
Yeah, the Hardys beat the club.
See, this is how little I'm paying attention to the Hardys.
Me too, man. I didn't know they were number one contenders.
Well, that's us booking. Let's move on.
Yeah, let's move on. Yeah,
that was a dead segment. Let's get into the segment presented by the Nature Boy Fame Black himself, and that's because this is Booski. Nia Jax versus Sasha Banks. Fame, I'm going to let you break this one down because this match is only 1 minute and 12 seconds, but I feel like you have a lot of detail to go in on this match.
I mean, I don't understand how people don't get it. As soon as she comes onto the screen, she's fucking beautiful, man. But anyway, it was Nia Jax versus Sasha Banks. And I like Sasha Banks 75% as much as I like Nia Jax. You understand what I'm saying? So they're both very, very nice. This is a great segment. It didn't last very long until everybody, Alexa Bliss on commentary. Like, this is starting to it comes off my TV screen. I wish it would come through my TV screen. It's Alexa Bliss, Nia Jax, Sasha Banks. Woo! One night in China. Rest in peace. That was fucked up. Moving forward, all the women came out, big brawl, and then Bayley comes out and whoops everybody's ass.
Yeah,
Bayley, who's obviously been eating a lot of catering.
Women on Raw.
Yeah,
she is a bit thick, isn't she?
I don't know. I think she was just wearing a loose shirt.
What the hell is she wearing? She's like the Kidz Bop version of wrestling. Like what? What was that? She had like a Stone Cold Steve Austin vest on, but it wasn't that. It was like the Kidz Bop Bayley version of it.
It's like one of the new tank tops that they're selling on the shop.
And I don't know, her pants, they got like ABC 123, like a children's classroom.
Yeah. Hey, I was digging it. Bayley coming out and wrecking shop was really cool. Somebody pointed
out. I was
down
for her violence. I just want her to wear one color in her pants.
No, all the colors, Fame. But there was somebody on Reddit who pointed out that like 2 years ago in NXT, when Emma reappeared down there, she warned Bayley about being too nice. And that they should totally play that into the storyline, with that being what's happening to her currently, is that, you know, Emma was really nice, went to the main roster, was popping bubbles and doing her stupid dance and the Emolution and all that shit, and she fell flat on her face, aka she stole an iPod case. But yeah, this is, you know, sort of like something that they should be playing into. I do like that she came out and she was more aggressive and she just beat the shit out of everybody.
That was pretty cool. That knee was vicious.
Oh yeah.
Where did Hayes go?
Hayes is still here. I had an almost debauched joke to make, but I just decided to cut that short. So it took my brain a second to reset completely out of the debauch. But that was pretty much wrong. We'll definitely discuss it. Don't believe me. We'll definitely discuss it. After this, the only thing left was the Enzo and Cass segment, which we talked about at the beginning of the show. So for better or worse, this was Raw tonight, people. We did get backstage.
Oh, we didn't talk about Goldust and R-Truth.
We did, and let's go ahead and talk about that.
Listen, I'm all
I don't know what
all,
to say about it. I don't know what to say. Because R-Truth's killing
it. You
don't
like it? All right, first of all, hashtag Black Excellence. Yes, if it wasn't for that 70s porn music, if you took that out, R-Truth was actually saying some very intimidating things. Like, you know, just because he's been saying what's up the little kids, little Jimmy, for the past 50 years, don't mean that he not a brother from Virginia, North Carolina, a brother from the hood, that he gonna say some real shit from time to time. You understand what I'm saying? So he kind of did that. He was like, "You gonna get got? Like, I'm gonna break you. You ain't gonna make no." Like, he's gangster, yo. R-Truth is. If I saw R-Truth in a dark alley, which is a dumb thing to say, because if I saw anybody in a dark alley, I'm not with it. But if I saw R-Truth in a dark alley and he wasn't singing "What's Up," I'd be very intimidated. He's a very intimidating man. I don't want to take it away from him. Everybody thinks he's a joke, but until he punches you in the face. But yeah, I like it. I'm all for these promos. I like R-Truth better than I like Goldust's. Goldust's.
Yeah. Well, I guess I'll talk about Goldust. First of all, hashtag gold excellence. But he is just, you know, this whole I'm going back to the golden era and all that, whatever the hell. It was just like, I don't know. Can we see it? He's just been doing this backstage. I don't know that these aren't the promos that he did in 1997 that they just like revamped and did HD style. It's just all so ridiculous. What is he going to do with this R-Truth thing? Where is this all going? Is it going anywhere? Why do we care? Could this just be like could we get a retirement match that ends in a double count out? I'm sort of just over all this. They've done nothing. They've done nothing with it. Why should we even care about this?
Yeah, I mean,
we forgot to talk about it.
Hashtag all excellence matters. I wouldn't say it's creative. It's just a playback on things that have happened in the past. But I mean, I will say that I enjoy R-Truth. I wish that they would actually get some physicality involved in it, but it's just hard to really break down because it's just more of the same. Like, they've been exchanging these promos for weeks now. I just think it's time to move on into something else, and that's why I really don't have much to say about it.
Coming to a head in Los Angeles, California, in Hollywood. I don't know. I like the story. It's doing all these Hollywood promos to settle it in Hollywood. It makes sense to me.
Are we getting a backlot brawl?
That would be cool. You never know.
Oh, they should totally do that.
They should, but while we're
reliving things from the past, why not?
Just do it throughout the whole night on Monday. Be great.
That'd be great. I'd watch that.
I'd like that. I honestly would. That's a good idea. God damn it, Bello, you've booked it again. But so
let's just hope we get it.
Every time he says some shit like that, I just imagine that he's at a big desk with his feet on it, and he's got a cigar in his mouth, and he's like running a newspaper or something. And Bello is the Peter Parkery photographer, comes in, drops the photo down. God damn it, Bello, you done it again. That's how I just imagine it every time I see it. Every time he says this shit.
Oh, that's I get paid. Hilarious. That's fucking hilarious. Oh man. Alright. That's Raw for tonight. If there's nothing else, let's go ahead and get into our closing thoughts for tonight. And then we do have one thing after the closing thoughts that may or may not make the actual podcast, people. So this is just behind the scenes. But Fane, what are your closing thoughts on wrestling and Monday Night Raw?
I think that we should talk about how terrible ambulance matches are. The whole concept, kayfabe-ly, it's ridiculous because you were putting someone on a stretcher and putting them in an ambulance and locking it up, and then it has to leave the arena. But do they have to go to the hospital? Did you do that, or are they just in the ambulance? Because that's pointless. The whole point of an ambulance match, though violence can be implicated, is you have to send your opponent to the hospital. That should be the objective if we're going to have an ambulance match. Otherwise, regular hardcore match will do just fine. Thank you.
Huh. I'm cool with the ambulance thing. Those are my closing thoughts. No, I'm kidding. But yeah, my closing thoughts are related to Money in the Bank and to the Money Bank review that you guys had last night, which was excellent. And despite all of the trash that Misery Williams talked about me, I did happen to agree with them on one point. The leak sort of bummed me out. Like, knowing Carmella, yes, and knowing Corbin were going to win, sort of just, like, when it happened, when, like, in the Money in the Bank, right? AJ and Nakamura are doing their thing, and I'm marking my fucking balls off. And, like, if I didn't know that Corbin was going to come in and end up taking the thing, I would have been even more so. So that sort of stuff, you know, it's my fault for looking for it or for reading it or whatever the case might be, I guess, to some degree. But I do agree with Misery to that in that effect. And we do need to launch a full-scale investigation into who is doing these leaks. Once Special Investigator Robert Mueller is done exonerating the Emperor and then done locking up the Clintons, he should come to Stanford and figure this shit out, because we need to figure out who's leaking this. If they're leaking it on purpose, they just need to stop doing that. But ultimately, what they should do is turn this leak into an angle and turn this angle into their Attitude Era moment, where they're just like, you know what, we're gonna have Vince open up Raw 1 week with a pre-recorded video and just destroy kayfabe forever. This is fake, folks. This is what we do, yada yada yada. And they just start to push the envelope a little bit more creatively, be more diverse, be more edgy, be more silly, be bigger and just louder and better and more over the top than ever before. Stop treating it like the NFL-ish. Start treating it like the MCU-ish. There you go.
That is fantastic. Could you imagine? I'm not allowed to influence, but I'll try to, inception it.
Inception that shit, fame. You got to do it. Plant those seeds. Getting into my closing thoughts, and me being a little reflective after being at Money in the Bank with my daughter and just watching that moment, and I got to see the birth of a smark. Like, it moved over to just a passing interest in wrestling. So full blown off smark. Like, she got the first "This is awesome" chant, all that. So what that made me think of is everyone. I know everybody's pretty much doing it, but let's really drill home the importance of sharing wrestling with your kids. No matter if they don't really watch it, if they don't really seem into it, take them to a live event and it may make them a fan, because I got to see the birth of somebody who's now going to be a wrestling fan for the rest of their life. And I could just tell by the look on her face. And that ladder match with Shinsuke Nakamura and AJ Styles, when Nakamura came back out and she was singing that theme song and humming it along, it was just, it's amazing. I really can't dream. On Father's Day at that, it was probably my best moment of being a wrestling fan ever, that I get to share that with my daughter. My oldest son hates wrestling, but I did make one smart out of the group. My daughter absolutely loves wrestling, and she has not stopped talking about it. She literally just texted me saying, "Daddy, when are we going to wrestling again?" Like, this is just, it's amazing feeling. So everyone, share wrestling with your kids, no matter what level of event you can take them to, because it's life changing. And that's my closing thought.
Yeah. Oh, that was fantastic. That deserves a round of applause sound effect right after, like, right here. Anyway, but I to that point, Hayes, which is, I agree with wholeheartedly, share wrestling with your kids. There's a video that I just shared with my daughter of Kenny Omega versus a 9-year-old girl. And my daughter was like, "Oh, we're doing that." Okay, you got it. So, training.
Wow.
Fame Black versus 9-year-old girl.
Oh, God. On the next Messing with Wrestling.
Lucy Luchadora.
She's undefeated, right?
She is undefeated, currently. That's all about to change.
All right. Let's go ahead and close off this show. This has been a great show. Fame, tell the people where they can find you.
Oh, you can find me on Twitter at Fame Black and on Instagram at Fame Black and on Facebook. Well, don't worry about that, but you can worry about the Snapchat, because I am a Snapchat extraordinaire. Woo, every day on Snapchat, I am living my life and I'm helping you live yours too, at Fame Black on Snapchat. And you can catch me here on the Red Zone on thewwpn.com, covering Monday Night Raw every Monday. And I'm also on a few other shows as well. And the WWPN YouTube channel. What is that? Is it just WWPN?
It's the Wrestling World Podcast Network.
Damn, that's long.
Well, that's what it is.
It's a long YouTube.com/Wrestling World Podcast Network. But do it. It's great. It's good for your soul. You should swallow it.
Indeed. Indeed you should. All right, folks. I am T-H to the E-A-N to the D-R-E-W-B-E-L-L-O, the Andrew Bello. Find me on Twitter at WWPNBello. Find me here on the Red Zone. Find me here on Next Level. Find me on the new show, For the Love of Lucha. We're keeping it kayfabe. And the WWPN.com for all of the other wonderfulness that the WWPN produces. Hayes, take us home, sir.
Yes, you can follow me at CEO Hayes. And as Andrew Bello said, go to thewwpn.com, which is the certified G-spot for all things Wrestling World Podcast Network related. Check out all our content there. Follow our hosts. Leave us a voicemail. All that good stuff. I recently found out that people have been leaving voicemails, and JB just has been forgetting to tell me because that bastard is senile. Exactly. Exactly.
That son of a bitch. Folks, we're gonna get to the bottom of this.
Exactly. Instead of searching out attention on YouTube, the bastard should have been telling me we've been getting voicemails, because now people have been leaving us voicemails and we haven't been getting back to them. That looks bad. But we will work out the kinks there. As I said, go to thewwpn.com. Even though what I just said probably took away a little confidence in it, leave us a voicemail. I just know now I'm going to have to check it literally every day.
We're definitely checking it now.
we're gonna get Corey Graves on this to investigate what happened.
But this has been the Red Zone. I am CEO Hayes, for Fame Black and Andrew Bello. We're gonna say good night. We love you, and please, 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 don't be a mark. Good night.
Aw, be a mark. What the fuck's wrong with being a mark?
Be a mark. Use condom. That's what I thought you were going to say. Please, please, use condoms. Yes, use condoms. That's a better one.
Be a mark. Be a wrestling dad.
Be a wrestling dad.
Next generation of marks.
Yeah.
Be a wrestling parent. Be a wrestling parent.
Nah, just be a wrestling dad.
Even if you're a mom.
There's no women to listen to this. Come on. Be serious.
I wish you could swim like dolphins. Dolphins can swim. Though nothing, nothing will keep us together. We can beat them forever.